Good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon, chaps. Welcome to the Green Arrow Podcast and Fantasy Football Herb as we look ahead to festive game weeks 18 and 19. My name is Fergie. Adam, welcome back. Mr. Scrooge, Mr. Grinch, yeah. Whatever you want to call the only one without a Christmas jumper on. What colour was your arrow in game week 17?
Yeah, thanks, Fergie. I've rushed all the way back from work just to good be man, here, only to record Mr. Grinch now, JK. Well, yeah, it'll be a green regardless, whatever happens with the Solanke points. Yeah, it was a really, really good week. Let me go through it. So I scored 70 points, no hit. I bought in, who did I bring in? I bought in Ollie Watkins back for Haaland. For me, it was quite nice, actually. All of my defence and keeper scored. I did start Areola over Dubravka, but that's made zero difference. And it'd be interesting to see if Areola is actually dropped now, because that could cause a little bit of an issue. The other players that got points to me, Pedro Porro, who's been an absolutely brilliant transfer in. And do you know what? He's just great to watch as well. I mean, I think in almost every game that he's played and returned, he could have got more points, and he possibly could have scored versus Forest. He had a couple of attempts.
I think I mentioned it last week. He got the like Alonso vibes where when you don't own him, you just it's petrifying because he's just always having shot. He almost scored at the end, didn't he? And it was it a block or a save? But he's always there.
A block, I think, with the head. But yeah, you're absolutely right. He's been a brilliant transfer in for me. So really pleased with him. I also have Gabriel and Lascelles got me clean sheets, so that was good to see. And I think I might have got a little bit of luck with Lascelles with Shaw getting injured just as Botman gets back. So I'll eke out that jam, Newcastle jam there.
Rich is grimacing in the background.
I know the irony. Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Coming to you in a minute, Rich.
We'll see how that one plays out, because we've obviously got a game in midweek. There's no guarantee Shaw is out.
That's right.
Long. So let's wait and see on that one before we get too smug. The three players that didn't return, or three of the players that didn't return for me, with my three superstar midfielders in Son, Salah and Saka. Possibly Saka and Salah were unlucky not to get anything, but it was great to see Carl Palmer with a 14 point. Again, he could have got more. He was unlucky not to. So that was, I'm really pleased with that. And Jared Bowen, who also hit the post, and you know, but really pleased. And I think a lot will go to Bowen in the coming weeks with the likes of Salah and Son, and because with Kudos is going, isn't he, to AFCON. And then Watkins, delighted for him to get a 9-pointer, but the probably the big question mark, Martin, is Darwin Núñez, because
what an enigma.
Useless, isn't he? He's useless.
Yeah, he didn't look good, and I think the only thing he was really troubling was the offside side of things yesterday. There was not really any chance. Yeah, he wasn't brilliant. So that's a bit of an issue. But overall, good. Relatively happy with my team. And I just need to start thinking about Haaland. Do I get him back in? Do I look elsewhere? I'm not sure at this stage.
Ooh, we'll be having a chat about that. I've got some thoughts on that, which I'm keen to. I'm excited
to hear about them.
That's our first topic in a little bit. Welcome back, Rich. I was thinking of you again on the weekend. When it rains, it pours. Rich, I've been there firsthand for a long time, so yeah. I get, you know, as you say, when it rains, it pours. How are you? How are you feeling now?
I'm all right. I would say it was definitely a weekend of two halves. I think Saturday evening, I was on the edge, I think. I have to say, I needed a bit of
on the edge of what?
Support. Well, you know, on the edge of breaking down, I think, to be honest. I've got to talk about my Newcastle experience, because it's all really compounded into, you know, a bit, it isn't very lucky, but it all goes back to the decision to sell Ollie Watkins back in game week 12, I think it was, or game week 14, I think it was. Basically, you remember he was an injury doubt. He didn't play in the European fixture, and the manager was saying he wasn't sure he was going to play. And it was a bit like the Haaland situation. Decided to play the upside, and sell Watkins and bring in Isak ahead of, you know, Newcastle's four run of four fixtures up to now, mainly because Isak seemed pretty nailed. You know, Wilson had a hamstring injury. No one really owned Isak. It was just an opportunity to have that third striker that nobody else owned, which I thought was a good thing to play. Now, I brought that in. The fact that Isak's done nothing is, you know, that's down to me making a transfer and it not paying off. I'm not really moaning about that. But what actually happened was Watkins played that weekend and scored 11 points. Isak got two. So it was, you know, he wasn't injured. But the thing that it really did was it gave me three Newcastle players. Okay. So roll it on a week and then Areola gets his injury. I've got to make a goalkeeper change, or I haven't got a goalkeeper, and I can't go to Dubravka, which everybody, well, not everybody, but most people took that gift and just transferred in Dubravka. I was blocked on him because I own Gordon, Cher, and Isak. So then I go and buy Robert Sanchez, who's probably the next best choice ahead of Chelsea's favourable run of fixtures. Sanchez immediately gets injured, putting me back to square one on the goalkeeper thing. And I've still got that to sort out. But this week I thought, well, I'm not making another goalkeeper transfer 2 weeks in a row. I'll just play Turner, you know, who fortunately had got his place back. But he then only gets 2 points. Dubravka gets a clean sheet and 7 points. You see, this is all just mounting up, which is why your ranks, you two, have got, you know, about a third of what they were 3 or 4 weeks ago. And mine's just sort of stayed the same or got a little bit worse. Anyway, moving it on, we get to Saturday's game. Trippier suspended. Half the Newcastle defence are injured.
Just sorry, one sec, Rich. Yeah, Fergie, yeah. Are you playing the violin?
Yeah,
for this
I'm only halfway through this.
I will.
So it gets better. So basically, I've got the only nailed Newcastle defender. Hey, Fabian Scherer. He's the only one who doesn't seem to get injured, right? He's playing really well. He has a shot in the first 10 minutes. He marauds up the pitch and he's, you know, he's carrying the ball and then he pulls his hamstring or his glute or whatever.
I think he's played every minute of the season. Then,
goes off after 14 minutes for a one-pointer when the rest of the team all picks up a clean sheet and it gets better, guys. Guess who I benched? I benched Anthony Gordon.
Well, that's
because Eddie Howe said he was a doubt and he's a hamstring doubt. So I benched him because I've got playing an eight and I just thought, well, that's the easy benching headache taken care of. And he goes and scores an assist.
And we touched on this last week with Bakaris, didn't we? One of the reasons I don't want to go a front eight is because of that problem every single week is the bench. Because you haven't much luck with that. You've benched Palmer a couple of times. Yeah. You've benched Gordon. Yeah. You keep getting them, don't you?
Benching Palmer for his hauls, benching Gordon. And so, you know, it's like, I think pretty much most people got about 13 points on average out of the Newcastle fixture. I got one. And that is really tough, especially as I've been heavily invested in Newcastle, backing them, you know, through this period. And so that really did make me think, you know, things are not going my way at the moment, you know, and I've tried to go different, tried to play with a 3-4-3. And the performances of Darwin and Isak over the last, you know, five fixtures, I think they got about 10 points between them
those
times. So anyway, that was the little story about why I'm still a million and you two are in the top half million now. So congratulations, boys.
In the chat, when it rains, it Porro.
Yeah.
I like that. Very good.
No, I can't get to Porro.
Can't get to Porro or Dubravka.
No, I'm still fixing fires. Yeah, there we are. But anyway, thanks for letting me vent.
No worries at all,
we
mate.
Can move on.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
I've got 66 points as it stands. Dubravka, Gabriel, Porro, Simicast, Son, Gordon, Saka, Palmer, Salah, Darwin and Solanke. Obviously the Bournemouth-Luton game has caused, you know, excuse me, sorry, I need to do a massive cough. I swallowed some squash about 5 minutes ago and it went down the wrong pipe. First off, obviously, you know, best wishes to Tom Lockyer, his family and friends. And the latest yesterday was positive news, so hopefully it continues in that vein. In terms of the impact, what that has on FPL, FPL came out, I think it was either last night or this morning, and said that the game week is staying open. They have given Solanke his goal points. Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Do you want me to take over? So they've given
yeah,
him
please do, sorry.
Goal points, but not the bonus because he was top on BPS at the time. I think the match technically finished after 65 minutes. And it was suspended. Well, it was suspended for a period of time. And then they decided that it was the right call to actually abandon the match. And I suppose that the challenge for FPL, it's been very rare that these instances have occurred. And they sort of they've kept with the live points without awarding the bonus. And they've left the game week open. So there's a few options as to what could happen now. So I think there's three potential things. So the FA rules basically state that if this happens, the game is abandoned. It should be replayed unless it's overruled by the competition. So the competition in this state is the Premier League. There are three potential options that could happen. And the first one is that they award the match as a 1-1 draw. Which is probably unlikely because that might question the integrity of the competition. There was still 25 minutes left. And, you know, if a team was to go down by a point against Luton or Bournemouth, it might leave right to appeal. The second possibility is they play the final 25 minutes. And this actually happened in, was it the World Cup or Euros with Ericsson? But I think there were probably the factor that was in play here was the time sensitivity in terms of deciding who goes through in the World Cup. So it goes through in the group stages. That isn't relevant here. There's plenty of time. There's loads of free midweeks for both Bournemouth and Luton. And realistically, could you get fans there in such short proximity of time? And if you didn't have fans, again, it could lead to the question of the integrity of the thing, of the match, which leaves a third option, which in my opinion is the most likely and is the usual precedent for abandoned matches, is they replay the whole match. And there's plenty of scope and opportunity to do this because neither team is in Europe. So there's loads of free weeks and opportunities. Now, I think that the big challenge for FPL here is what do they do? Because they've rewarded live points. We say to Solanke, I think Solanke's really the only player in question here. I mean, I know a couple of, I don't imagine too many people having Luton assets or, you know, so I think really they've awarded live points to Solanke for his goal. They haven't removed them yet. I know there was some playing around with it on Saturday night, but what do they do? Do they, so I think there's a few potential scenarios. I think they keep it as it is without awarding the bonus. They keep it as it is and add the bonus in as if it's finished. But then what would they do when the match is replayed, which might be interesting? Or they wipe the points, allow auto subs, and then it can come in. You know, I suppose it will effectively become a double game week, like the match was postponed. So it'll be interesting to see what take they go for. What? I mean, let's start with you, Rich. Really interested to get your take on this. Okay. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's natural for people who've got Bournemouth players or certainly got a player that's on 9 points potentially to have a bias towards wanting those points to be kept and have their rank preserved and so on and so forth. Totally natural feeling. But if you think about the actual what's happened in the competition and that fantasy football is based on the actual results in the Premier League, this is a void result. Okay. It's a void result. Solanke's goal is not counting towards the golden boot. There's not the goal difference is not changing in terms of goals scored for either of those teams. There's no points going in the Premier League table. Therefore, the result is void.
And the game and the number of games played.
And therefore, there's got to be theoretically a 39th game that those Bournemouth and Luton players are eligible to play. Now, there's 22 of them, and they're probably scattered amongst benches and Premier League teams. So to have two lots of points scoring in the competition, I don't think is appropriate and fair to all the other teams and all the ownership of the other teams. Now, we've just got to take away this isolated instance. Oh, well, I bought in Solanke this week and that's my advantage gone. I get that. But I think the right thing to do from a fairness of the competition is that if the result is is about as an abandonment, you implement the same protocols as a postponed fixture, and you reorganize the fixture and you don't award any points. That's my view on what is fair. Now, I'm sure there's people in the chat going, well, I don't agree with that, and that's fine, that's what we're here to discuss. But I just don't think that it feels right to keep the points. So what's your view, Fergie? Do you think that's the same? Do you think differently? Or because you own him, so therefore this is, you do own him, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you do. I think exactly the same. I just think, you know, the games played in the Premier League still shows a 16. Assuming that it's not replayed this game week, which I think is looking increasingly likely. I think they've kept it open just in case it is. I can't see it. Where are we now? Kind of Monday evening, no mooting of it yet. It's got to be played by Wednesday evening for it to be in this game week. That's 48 hours. I can't see it. And I just think that it will be voided. It will be a scratch result. You know, as you say, in terms of the history box, it will have never been a match, or it will have been an abandoned match and then the replayed match shown. So, you know, each season has to be a 38 match season to, you know, maintain the integrity of everything. And it's I feel for those who've got Solanke and are getting not much off the bench, like maybe an Archer or something like that. I get it, they're going to miss out on a few points, but I think if you take that all away, if you take away the bias, as someone's put in the chat really, really well, actually, Nicholas put, if Solanke had a red card in the 10th minute and was on a -2, those same players would want the game abandoned and replayed. So that's my take on it. I just think it's got to be abandoned, replayed. And it's from an FPL view only here, you know, it's important to set the context here. It's tough luck. You know, it would have been the same if it was kind of, you know, snowed off with an hour to go. You know, what if the game was 5 minutes in and it was abandoned? What would we say then? Would we say the same thing? And it's just, that's just my take. I think we probably got a shared view.
Yeah. The last point you made for me is really, really relevant. I think the context here, and I think the thing that has stopped FPL, I very much doubt it is going to be replayed this week. It's just not practical. So for me, the match has clearly been abandoned. The thing that has stopped them is Solanke has been the most transferred in player this week, and he scored not about 6-9 points, whatever they go with. And therefore, it's created, however many owners he's got, it's created a really, it's impacting a lot of players. Now, if Solanke hadn't scored, I guarantee, I'd be fairly certain that this would have already been wiped and the points wouldn't have counted.
Well, people would think, I've got another chance of a double game week now.
Exactly.
So hang on to him,
exactly. I think if they give the points there and it ends up going to a double game week, I just think it's such a dangerous
can't do that.
Precedent to set. I think the only scenario where they can give the points is if the Premier League come out and say, we are awarding the match as a draw, or we are replaying the final 25 minutes before the game week.
It's over.
The game week deadline. I think any other scenario, I just can't see them doing it. And I think as soon as it goes past Thursday as well, then it's into a different game week. So, yeah, it is a tough one. I sympathise with owners. I mean, I own him in Sky, and it's looking like I captained him. I've got a massive rank rise, and it's looking like all that will be wiped out. And I lose a transfer for that. Yeah. Probably even worse in Sky than it is in FPL. At least with Archer, even Archer coming on, effectively, it's only 4 points difference. It's not huge. And he's still got Solanke for a really good, you know, good next couple of fixtures. And you've got him for a double game week coming up whenever that is scheduled, because it's possible it could be early on in the new year. Yeah.
I think FPL have made a big boo-boo by showing they can keep game weeks open to, you know, and I, you know,
controversy.
These are pretty exceptional circumstances. And, you know, I want to remind everyone that we're just talking in the context of FPL here, but the fact they can keep game weeks open, I think, sets a precedent that when there are controversial circumstances in future, they'll be asked, why haven't you kept the game week open, which is not good. So,
exactly.
But there we go, and it is where it is. Like I said right at the start, we wish we wish Tom Lockyer, his family and friends, all the best. Hopefully he continues to improve and he'll be back on the football pitch very soon. Just move on. Just to say at the end, chaps, after we've done our teams, I'm going to give you a little Christmas football quiz to finish off this year.
You didn't tell us about that.
No, I didn't. Head to head, right at the death. We will do that.
Love it.
Before we move on, we currently have a Christmas offer on, a Christmas present to everyone who is not Fantasy Football Hub members yet. If you want to use the full power of Fantasy Football Hub, you can do so now for a full 30 days free. This includes our My Team features, included recommended transfers, predicted points, dedicated WhatsApp groups for pro members, and so much more. Don't forget, it's all on the FFH app too, an absolute no-brainer if you want to do well at FPL. Free for 30 days, which includes the Christmas chaos. Imagine waking up Boxing Day morning and your app telling you which transfer is your most optimal one. That is what the app does, and much, much more. You will not be disappointed. Okay.
That's the wife's Christmas present sorted. Love that.
There we go, buddy, indeed. So looking ahead to the landscape for the next few game weeks, I've got the next 4 weeks up. Obviously, these next 3 weeks now are reasonably close together. The 21st game week 21 is, I think the deadline is on January the 13th, and lots of players will have gone then to AFCON or the Asian Cup. But just looking ahead now for the next 2 or 3 weeks, Adam, you mentioned earlier about kind of Ireland and things. What are your thoughts on how you're going to navigate through and maximise the next 2 or 3 weeks, especially before AFCON and
I think I'm not sure is the answer, but if I talk you through where my head is at the moment, I only think there's one player that for me that I don't own that is worth bringing in to maximise on not owning Haaland, which is Trent Alexander-Arnold. I don't own Solanke, but I think if I throw in an extra attacker and have a front eight, I'm going to have exactly the same. I just don't want to have that problem. I like Archer, actually, because he just gets 2 points and I don't ever get tempted to start him. So I'm quite happy with Archer. And actually, I think he's looked better under Wilder. So I'm all right with that.
He's got a good game in 19, home to Luton. He plays 19,
exactly. So that could be useful. Definitely the first sub, potentially first sub for that one could be quite a useful one. But Trent's looked amazing. He looked great again yesterday, was fractions away from scoring and assisting. So I think if I'm going to use the Haaland money, it makes sense to bring him in. I'm not interested in Trippier. I've got two Newcastle already, and I don't like their long midterm fixtures. They've got City, Villa, and Liverpool in the next five. Yeah. Now's not the time to bring Trippier in my opinion. I've got Dubravka, who would probably be my set and forget keeper if I lose Areola. So do I bring in Trent?
No.
Oh, I'm tempted to do it.
Sorry, Adam, you froze for a second.
The only thing that puts me off is...
You're, so,
oh, I'm back. I'm tempted to do it. The things that put me off doing it are that, is it the best entrance point playing Arsenal? Possibly not. Could he be rested for the Burnley game? Possibly. So do I cause myself issues? And actually that Burnley game could be the one I want to bring Haaland back. So I think when I look at it logically, as much as I want Trent, it could be better. I think I need to know the severity of the Haaland injury. If I think Haaland is going to be fit for against Everton, my plan is probably to bring him straight back.
Okay.
Because
Would you hit him back in?
No, because I'd save a transfer this week
and
do it for free. But it would mean losing probably Son or Salah. Not
before
sure which
you,
one.
Before you really want to, yeah, because they've both got, well, they've yeah, obviously but, the Spurs have got a couple of nice fixtures before he goes. And similarly, Liverpool.
What I'd probably do is Son to Richarlison. makes me feel more confident with that. But then, I think bringing Haaland back early could be a big, big advantage. But he's just got to be fit. And I think if there's any doubts over his fitness, I think potentially giving it a week to get the information could be big here, because we don't know the severity of his injury. Like I said, Trent in against Arsenal, I would imagine Arsenal score, and they're arguably the best defence in the country. So is there a high upside for Trent in this match? Do I need to bring him in this week? I'd probably say no. So I think it's possibly worth the extra information. Now, the other team I was really interested in was using the transfers on Villa's defence. Mm-hmm. And I've been put off that because Pau Torres got an injury. I don't know how severe it is, but he's got a knock. So that's not ideal. But Kamara getting sent off misses three matches, and he is huge for our defence.
Because it's violent conduct, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's absolutely huge. The match he was suspended for, we played Bournemouth, and they knocked up over 2xG. And, you know, they could have scored more. They created a lot of big chances. So I think Kamara out is very bad news for Villa. Now, I think they might keep a clean sheet against Sheffield United, but I'm not too convinced. I think we'll struggle maybe at Old Trafford. So I'm put off Villa for that reason, with Pau's knock and Kamara out. And there's a few other injuries in and around the squad. Tielemans isn't guaranteed to be back. So, yeah, I think at the moment, my decision is going to be save a transfer to get Haaland back. Let everybody else spend their money and make it difficult to get him back. And I'll get him back before everyone else. Because I tell you what, if you ask me, would you rather have Trent for a week or Haaland as a differential? Haaland's a differential any day of the week.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it, how it quickly people's sentiments change. You know, this time last week, people were wondering whether they should even just put Haaland on the bench and keep him. Plus, definitely have a path back for him. Definitely bring him back for game week 19 or game week 20. I think when they play Sheffield United at the absolute latest. And now everyone's going, oh, let's use the money on Trent. Let's use the money on Trippier. Let's just get it on the pitch. You know, because if you haven't got Watkins in already, you've got to get Watkins this week. So people are just going to start spending it and making it harder to go. Back to him. You don't really want to be selling Watkins to go back to him, because Watkins looks like a season keeper now. He's playing like Harry Kane, isn't he? Basically, he's just returning every week.
I might actually sell Watkins to go back to Haaland, funny enough, just to say, because what I can do is sell Watkins to go back to Haaland in one move, and then the following week with my two transfers, sell Son and Darwin, So that might be a better way of doing it. But yeah, I think this obviously depends on Haaland being fit or likely to be fit. So when does City play? Because that would be quite interesting.
They've got a game tomorrow, haven't they? In Saudi,
I think it's Boxing Day, and apparently there's not going to be a press conference available before that match. I haven't got it up in front of me. I'm paraphrasing a tweet. They're playing on Wednesday the 27th. They've got matches in
the World Cup. Yeah, so you can see how Haaland is, whether or not he's playing or he's on the bench or he gets any minutes. I mean, if he's not actually appearing in that, I would say there's no rush to get him back.
He's playing on the Wednesday night, the 27th, away to Everton. But obviously the deadline is Boxing Day morning at 11 a.m. But yeah, you are right, Rich. Apparently, he didn't train this morning. Haaland and Doku didn't train this morning, so we're not going to know. And there's not going to be a press conference prior to those Boxing Day matches. So even if he doesn't play, we're not going to have any new information. Mm. So, what's your take on Haaland, Rich?
Well, I was similar to Adam. My plan was, before I started getting all these injuries, was to save a transfer this week. I mean, partly my moves off Haaland were to bring Watkins and Son in last week so that I didn't have to get Watkins this week. And I could say, plus they both rocketed in value. I think I've made about 0.7 mil on that transaction already. So financially, I'm doing great. I just haven't scored any points. So yeah, I was planning to save this week, and then I would sell Isak and Darwin for Haaland and a dud, and go back to a front seven, and do that. And that would have been my moves for free in game week 19. So I can still do that. However, I have problems with the goalkeeper. I have problems with Fabian Scher, and I don't own Pedro Porro. So I probably will take a hit this week, I would think, to sort out the team.
I've got a different take on Haaland, I think. I don't think I'm going to get him back for 19 regardless, even if I think he's going to play, because looking at the captaincy options that week in 19, a Liverpool away to Burnley. Now, I fancy Salah away to Burnley more than I fancy Haaland away to Everton, all being equal. That's if Haaland plays 90. And Salah plays 90. I fancy Salah to at least match Haaland that week anyway. So I'm gonna hold on to 20. One of the main reasons for that then is in 20, I'm probably gonna downgrade Salah and get rid of him ahead of home to Newcastle, which I appreciate, you know, is reasonably risky. But the kind of routes you guys are taking, it means you're going to have like 7-8 million on the bench, aren't you, going into game week 21 onwards. Whereas I feel, to Adam's points earlier, I can probably spend that money a bit wisely, a bit earlier as well. And that's without removing Son either that week or a week later as well before he goes. So I just feel like it's not, you know, it's not all about obviously spending the cash because it's there. But there are some really good options. You know, we've mentioned Trent and Trippier and things, you know, with things like this. You can get to them earlier. I, you know, appreciate the fixtures, appreciate what you said about them. But I would much rather, just for example, Trippier than Trent, than Lascelles and whoever else is cash or Gabriel even. You know, all these players are just kind of, you know, bumbling around at the moment. And I feel that both of those players have got huge upside in the short term, as well as the medium and long term as well. And I don't feel I'll miss out on much. Just out of interest, would you captain Haaland away to Everton in 19, all being equal?
Well, Everton are the form team of the league, aren't they, at the moment? You know, I mean, whether they keep that up, and we'll see against Tottenham whether they do. They're certainly not. It's not a gimme anymore, is it?
Well, absolutely. It's
not away.
And especially when Spurs away to Brighton as well, mind, on that week. Arsenal home to West Ham and Liverpool away to Burnley. I wouldn't captain Haaland that week, I don't think. Would you, Adam?
Yeah, possibly. Okay. I think, again, it depends on, keep going back to it, depends on my confidence that he'll play.
Yeah.
I can see Klopp rotating against Burnley, personally, which makes me doubt captaining Salah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a tough one. So, are you tempted to bring in either Trippier or?
Well, I'm bringing in Watkins this week. So I'm doing Darwin to Watkins this week in 18 for sure. And then I might save in 19 potentially, or make a transfer in 19 with all the cash, bring in Trippier or Trent, just to, you know, as an example, or even take a hit for Trippier this week, which I don't mind because they got so much upside. It can really transform my team really quickly. And then that way, when I do the Haaland and Salah switch in 20, which I appreciate is dangerous, you know, because I'll be getting rid of Salah. But by doing that, my funds in my team kind of balance out, and I'm getting all the thing on the pitch at the same time. So,
Would you bring in Trent this week?
What have we got this week? Home to Arsenal. Maybe. I'm not massively. I think I prefer Trippier in the short term for their next two. I think have they got Luton and Fulham? Luton and Fulham. I want to say. I think
Luton and Nottingham Forest.
Forest. Yeah.
I could do Trippier. I could do, you know, Charles Trippier. I mean, that's still still hamstrings me from the keeper. Yeah. But
I think
I've not owned him yet this season, and it's pretty terrifying. He gets 12 points every other week, doesn't he?
But obviously,
yeah. I think if you can save this week, it gives you so many options.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what's. Agree. I'm thinking because I do want Trent, but then I'm also thinking if I saved, it gives me more flexibility to do different things next week. So it makes it easier to get Haaland back if I want to. Mm. And what would I miss? I think it's unlikely Liverpool keep a clean sheet. So therefore, he's got to get attacking returns. But if against, I mean, Arsenal are incredibly good defensively.
Yeah,
so as good as Trent has been, I don't know if now is the time to bring him in because, again, I have doubts for voicing it about him starting versus Burnley because Klopp has got history of using his squad, particularly in congested periods. So that said, I think I'm... If I can get away with it, I'm going to try and save a transfer this week and just take what...
Mm. Oh, that's very sensible.
Knowing that whilst everybody else... And then I'll get... You know, I don't have to go to Haaland next week, but I have that opportunity to get him in without taking a hit. And he could be, for a week or two, a differential, which would be...
How come you're not interested in Trippier or of interest? You haven't really mentioned him, but his next two are as good as they get.
Yeah, but it's his three after, and I've got Lascelles and I've got Dubravka,
okay.
So I'm already benefiting from Newcastle clean sheets. Okay. So it's just the attacking side, and plus he's been carrying a few injuries. I think if his fixtures were better, when I'm making transfers now, I like players to have, because I've seen instances where players have had good three fixtures, and before you know it, you're into a bad fixture run. Yeah. So I think if I didn't have Newcastle defence or if I was swapping the sales, possibly, but I don't know if I want to double or triple up on Newcastle defence.
Hmm. Yep, fair enough. Good stuff. So we've mentioned about Trent and Trippier and kind of, you know, spending the cash, I suppose. A little bit more on the impact of AFCON and the Asia Cup, which will happen after game week 20. Just highlighted a couple of players who, you know, may... you mentioned him earlier, Adam. Obviously, Richarlison has got three in his last two. He's probably going to get a hell of a lot of minutes when Son is, you know, is away in the Asia Cup. There's quite a lot of players who are going away. So Nicholas Jackson is going away as well, which could bring Nkunku in. Nkunku may be playing this midweek. Salah is obviously going as well. So, you know, increased minutes for other players, Nunes, Luis Diaz, potentially others as well. Have you guys given any thought yet to, you know, that game each one and onwards, and not only spending the cash, which is kind of what I'm erring towards. That's the short term impact of, you know, AFCON and the Asian Cup for me, is knowing that I'll be getting rid of Salah and Son by game week 20 or 21, and spending the cash. Have you had any other thought, Rich? Any kind of thought on how it's going to impact your team?
There are easy downgrades for Son and Son Salah. You know, you can go to Richarlison, you can go to Bowen. You know, Bowen's still great value at 7-7. Richarlison's a steal at 6-7 if he's playing up front and is showing some form. So you can park your money on those two quite comfortably for the those tournaments. My slight concern is on selling both Salah and Son. I mean, basically, they have gone up in value. Salah's 13.2 mil. So if you bought him at 12.5, I don't think I bought him at 12.5. I think I bought him at 12.7 or something. It's still $500,000 that you're going to have to find potentially to get him back. I mean, they'll drop a pip or two, but they'll probably won't drop back to their base values during the tournament. They'll probably drop a little bit. And owning Haaland, Salah and Son again from a financial perspective may become challenging, you know, in February. That's my one worry. It doesn't mean I won't sell them, because I've got to do something to climb up from a million. So I can't sit there and just go, oh, I'm just going to hold them for the team value. I think if you're up the top of the ranks, you might want to keep one of them.
Really?
That's my only thought. Yeah, because, well, if you've got a strong bench and you're just going to part, you know, maybe after 2 or 3 weeks, one of them might go out. One of their teams might go out of the tournament and they're back early. So, you know, it's if you can get to Haaland back by selling one of those two in a two move switch around, then maybe you can bench the other one. It's an option, just in the same way spending the Haaland cash on defenders is the other option.
What week is the League Cup final? Is it 26?
26, yeah, 26.
Okay, because that could be, if you, that could put an argument for selling Salah more than Son, because that could put him out of, I think it is 26. I remember that rings a bell. But so even if it's 27.
Liverpool could reach the final and then they...
Reached the final, and then that causes, which is completely feasible, and I would say there's a good chance of that. Therefore, it extends the period of him blanking. So I personally think sell them both, but make it easy to get a route back. I mean, I'm not... I think what I will look to do long-term is I'll probably have Son or Saka, not both, and spread the funds a little bit more. I mean, Saka's consistent, but he's a little bit underwhelming, whereas Son's quite explosive. And I actually prefer Bowen to Saka as well as an option. So I think my plan will be, I will sell both, but I may not spend all the funds. I may actually keep the funds aside to get Salah back in one move, or Son, because it could only be a couple of game weeks. So what you don't want to have to do is restructure your team. Yeah. And then take a wild card or something. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could end up taking a -4 or -8 to get them out, and then 2 weeks later taking exactly the same to get them back in. And I don't think you need to bring both of them back instantly either. I think you can stagger it depending on fixtures. So, I mean, for example, yeah, so what does Salah come back to?
He comes back to Brent. Well, assuming he misses 21 to 24, he'll come back to Brentford, Luton, Forest, which is pretty good, and Spurs come back to Wolves, Chelsea and Palace. So that's assuming. I just had a quick look, and Egypt are fifth favourites to win AFCON, which suggests they could probably go reasonably deep, sort of, you know, quarter final and higher, they got the final last time, lost to Senegal, and South Korea are fifth favourites as well, I think, again, which could intimate that both teams are going to go fairly deep, you know, into that, you know, and
they're certainly going to get through the groups.
This is it. So I would guess that both teams won't be back before sort of 23 or 24, you know, as a minimum. Notwithstanding the fact that Kevin De Bruyne was training with Man City this morning, so what a placeholder he could be for one of those. So
great point. That is a great point.
And they'll likely have a double Man City as well, won't they? In like 21 or 22, and that Brentford game eventually gets rearranged. Mm. So interesting stuff there. Yes, yeah, I know it's a bit of a way off, but in terms of... it's a way off in terms of game weeks, but it's not a way off in terms of time, because where are we now? The 18th, in 13 days, 12 days, the game week 20 deadline will have passed. And we will, and this is very real. All these players won't play any more games in 12 days onwards. Yeah. It's really crazy. So I'm sure we'll manage to squeeze in a pod, you know, in between the Christmas break and New Year, when we'll talk about this in a lot more detail. But it's worth thinking about now, because if people do dash in now and get Trent, that impacts their plans for weeks onwards. It impacts their ability to get Haaland back. It means they have to take hits if they want Haaland back. If not, it's fine. And yeah, interesting. Be aware, Bjorn in the chat, really good point. Be aware that Spurs will not be the same team with Saar and Bissouma both away. You know, we haven't really thought about the impact of...
That's a really good
point. Of the actual teams, have we? I think West Ham are missing three. I think it's Agird, Kudus as well, you know. So, yeah, interesting points there. Really good stuff. Looking at predicted points for the next three game weeks. Son is top with 21. We've all got him now, Rich. We've all got Son now. Salah second on 20. Saka 17. Watkins 16.4. Bowen 16. Gordon 15.7, Bruno Fernandes still up there. Do you know, I checked the stats again today, and his XG and his XA are still pretty decent. We just can't get him off these charts. Palmer is making moves up there now, 15.2. Odegaard, 14.6. Eze, 14.5. Trent is the highest defender with 14. And unsurprisingly, Trippier with 13 is the second highest defender. So, yeah, some interesting stuff there. Some new names. Kulusevski is in there. Cunha, Solanke is in there still. It's all pretty interesting stuff. Best captain for this coming game week. Fantasy Football Hub predicted points have Heung-Min Son, top of the shop, 7.3 points. Salah second on 6.5. Watkins third on 5.9. In the poll on fantasyfootballhub.co.uk, Watkins 71% of the votes with Son second. Adam, come to you first. Captain for game week 18.
Wow, it's a tough one this is. But there is a team that have a chance to go top of the league on Friday night.
Really?
Yeah, a team that can go top of the league on Friday night, and they are playing bottom of the league. So,
are you going to that one?
Yeah, I've upgraded my season tickets. I'm taking my mate for his 40th birthday. Oh, wow. We're in hospitality, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's got banana skin written all over it, hasn't it?
It's got 1-0 away win written all over.
I just think, we've won 15 at home in a row. If there's ever a chance we're going to mess up, it'll be this one. For a fun factor, I think I've got a captain Watkins.
You have to, mate. If he scores, it's you'll be like, through the roof.
Yeah, I'll be knee sliding and everything around.
You'll be kicked out.
Yeah, exactly. I think Arsenal, Liverpool, Arsenal will be a tight game. I think the other option. I do think Sonny against Everton is a possibility. Yeah. I haven't ruled that out, at the moment I'm on Watkins, but that is purely. I think if I was totally neutral, Son would be the other one that would tempt me.
Just what about
maybe
you
an interesting
guys?
Week. I think it'll be quite split, and I'm tempted. I'm swinging about with it just because of the Pens, and because of the Tottenham seem to have got their mojo back a bit. But they are playing Everton, who've won 4 in a row, and all the stars like keeping clean sheets as well. So they're very galvanised at the moment. But I never really think Everton travel that well. So, I think I will put it on Watkins. I mean, you're so good at home that I can't see it being anything other than 3 or 4-0 to Villa.
So 90 minutes as well, isn't it? It's just so important. Like, did he score in the 85th this week? It's just Watkins and Buemo, Bowen. That 90 factor is so important, isn't it?
Villa Park on Friday night, the atmosphere will be incredible. Oh, yeah. I always love night games. But to go top of the league for that, I think it's the first time in 1998. I remember when we were top of the league at Christmas. I think it was sort of mid 90s when we had the likes of Dion Dublin and Paul Merson, and it was just incredible. And so to be able to do that, and actually if Arsenal and Liverpool draw, we've got the chance of being top at Christmas, which I don't think I'd ever hear myself say on this podcast.
That'll be unbelievable.
So it'll be incredible. But even to be top for a night, I would take that.
Or a night. It'll just be a night.
Take a picture of the table.
Of course I will. So I just think he's our talisman. I think I'd heard somewhere he's got 23 goals this calendar year. He's
the man at the moment.
And he's consistent. Well, I think he stepped it up. He's very much been typically matching his XG, a 1-2, but I think he stepped it up a little bit, and he's also, I mean, I think he's on 15-16 goals for the season because he scored in Europe as well.
That's a lot of assists. He finishes, as well, isn't he? Just a lot of assists.
He gets loads just because he's involved in the build-up play. He's so key to our... And actually, his XA isn't great, but it's just because he gets involved in the build-up play. And we've got players like McGinn, Louise, Tillemans, who can shoot Bailey from in and around the edge of the box. I think it depends on the other thing to factor with both Villa and Spurs is there's key players out. So I believe Bissouma is out of the. Is Bissouma suspended? I think he is. Isn't
yeah,
he?
He's out.
And Udogie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
there's a few key. And then for Villa, we're out without Kamara. I think we have got Dougie Louise come back. If Bailey and Tielemans are fit, that tips it Watkins' way for me. I don't get many opportunities to captain a Villa player, so I think I'll do it.
Cool.
That was a long answer, wasn't it?
No, it's all good. It's all good. I hope you do it. Just the quickest of anecdotes. Obviously, being in South Wales and being a Spurs fan, I didn't get to go down to watch Spurs very much when I was younger. And I think it was 2013. I took my father down, and he'd never been. And at that point, Bale was there. We were playing really, really well. And we were playing Wigan. I think they went down there. Was that season they went down but won the FA Cup or something? It was something like that.
Did they win 9-1 or something, did they?
No. So this is the thing. So all the way down, we're buzzing all the way down, you know, kind of walking up to the stadium with all the thousands of fans. You know, we don't do it very often. And we put a bet on, are they going to win 3-0? Are they going to win 4-0? Are they going to win 5-0? And and they lost 1-0 at home to Wigan. I can't remember. Who was the ginger central midfielder they had? I think he scored the winner in the FA Cup final, a header off a corner.
James McCarthy. No, it was I know you mean.
I can't think who it was now. But he scored anyway. And completely, I wouldn't say he ruined our day, but definitely ruined the vibe with a 1-0 home loss. But anyway, just I hope that doesn't happen to you, Adam. I hope Villa go smash him 6-0. And Captain Watkins, he gets 4 goals and 1 assist. So, that'd be good.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Looking ahead really, really quickly to game week 19, obviously, which is the Boxing Day when Salah is top of predicted points with 6.8, Son 6.3, Saka 6.1, Gordon 5.6. So this, because obviously Haaland is flagged now at 25%, his are really low. You mentioned earlier, Adam, that if Haaland is fit, you may captain him. I'd be very surprised if you did. I got to be honest. I'm gonna hold you to this.
Well, if I captained Haaland,
yeah.
if
Everton when Liverpool away to Burnley.
Yeah, but I think that's a game he could rest Salah, so that's what I'd be. There is one other that I might consider, which hasn't been mentioned, is I like Son away to Brighton, but also I quite like Saka at home to West Ham.
Okay, yeah.
I've Arsenal are the real deal at the moment.
Yeah,
I think they'll win the league. I think they're just so solid and they're very difficult to beat. So I think they've got a nastiness about them this season, which Arteta, you can see getting booked every week. He's being a bit childish and pedantic, but they've almost got that nastiness you need to win the league. And I think they'll go on and do it. And so, yeah, I think Saka could be an option. I expect them to beat West Ham comfortably.
Rich, was your captain in 19 as it stands?
I think at the moment, Salah. Provisionally, I mean, Burnley really aren't great home or away, are they? Oh. They're getting gubbed by most teams. So I think Liverpool will have too much for them. Yeah, I can't really see Salah being rested before AFCON. I know.
That's a good point.
But you know, you never know. Anyone can get a benching at some stage. But I just think that Klopp will ring him out before he goes.
Salah for me as well.
And, I think. Yeah, so Salah sticks out pretty well. I mean, again, it does mean, if you think about Everton's form, I mean, I will watch that, not only Haaland's fitness, but also Everton and whether they continue this good form. Because they could beat City. City aren't great at the moment, are they? You know, they're dropping points all over the place. So do you bring him back? And actually, it's only because I'm really stuck with Darwin and Isak. And I want to ship both of them. So that's the temptation for me to do it quickly, is it sorts it out. Otherwise, I've got to continue with Darwin and Isak.
Just one point. I think, from what I recall, Pep seems to do really well against Sean Dyche teams. I can remember there's been a lot of times where they've played Burnley away.
Liverpool's
got
4-0, 4-1. Salah scored a hat-trick away to Burnley a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, I just think I can just see Man City. That's the sort of game that I think they could get three or four. He has done quite well against Dyche historically, and he, against Burnley when Dyche was managing them. So, yeah.
Sorry, I thought you said Klopp. Apologies. I thought you said Klopp.
No.
I thought you were Liverpool and Burnley because you said Dyche as well.
Oh, of course. Sorry, yeah. Man. I can see the merits of captaining Salah. Yeah. I'm not disputing that at all. But I'm just saying, City, from what I recall, have done quite well away. Yeah, okay. They did quite well away at Burnley, where a lot of teams struggled when they went there. Okay. I don't think they ever struggled to create chances and create decent XG. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure they beat them.
I think they thrashed them a few times. 5-0, four times on the trot or something, didn't they? I do remember that.
Yeah, remember so, that. And Everton, I mean, there is some differences, but in terms of how they set up, it's not historically a team that they struggle against. Yeah. So, and with De Bruyne possibly back,
yeah, that's right.
You know, like I said, if Haaland is, if I think Haaland will start, I will do everything I can to get him back. I just gamble, because I think it's a good gamble to make where nobody owns him. Well, I say nobody. There's obviously a lot, half the game inactive players will, but there'll be a huge portion of people that don't own him, and you get very few opportunities to actually want Haaland to do well in FPL.
Yeah, exactly.
So it'd be nice to have at least one game where I can watch and say, come on, put a few in.
Well, just one thing we haven't touched on yet is it's quite, well, I say it's likely, according to Ben Crellin and all the fixture guys, they think that the double game is going to happen for Man City sometime early January, like 21, 22 potentially as well. We haven't really factored that into our thinking with our transfers, have we? Because it's going to be a decent double as well. It's going to be Brentford, and I think City's fixtures in January, just from memory, are really, really good, aren't they? They're really strong. We haven't really factored that in, and it's not something you really want to talk about now because it is hypothetical and it is a few weeks down the line. But it's just something when we're plotting out all these transfers for the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, well,
we haven't.
They're always,
everyone's going to want double City,
they're
all reserved
for getting Haaland back and selling Son and selling Salah. You know,
exactly.
You haven't got a lot of flexibility here to get Edison in, to get Doku or someone explosive. But, you've got to start thinking about these guys.
Yeah, but 2 or 3 City that week could be huge. Right? If you had, I don't know, Foden, Haaland, either defender, or maybe, a triple up and an attack potentially. Just something to have on the radar. No doubt we'll be talking about this more in the coming weeks. Fergie's a punt. Game week 18 to 21. Back in your boys, Adam. Think this player has looked incredibly good every time I've watched him. I know you're obviously a massive, massive fan. Very injury prone, so he's very hit and miss. 5 goals, 5 assists this season. 17 shots in the box. Good XG, good XA. I think you know who I'm talking about, but I do think...
I do. I love the guy.
Go on. I'll give you the honour, mate. Who's my punt for Thornton next week?
Leon Bailey,
I think, would be a really, really good punt in the next few weeks, especially those two home games in the next 3. I think he could be really, really good. So
Is he nailed now?
I think how the fixtures have fallen, I'd be surprised if he has 3 starts.
Yeah.
That said, just because he did fatigue against Arsenal in the first half, and if you think of how close the City game was, so I think playing a lot of games is an issue for him. But I'd echo what Fergie said. He has been unreal, unplayable at times. I mean, his performance against Man City was brilliant, but he's more consistent this season. So you mentioned he's got 5 goals and 5 assists. He's got another 3 or 4. He's got another 2 or 3 goals in Europe, plus a few assists in Europe as well. So on the season, he's been absolutely brilliant.
2.4% owned as well.
Yeah, I would expect him to start this week, and because he changed the game the weekend when he came on as well. We can't play cash as a right. I don't like playing cash as a right wing back. We've tried it a few times; it hasn't worked any time really, particularly recently.
Who would you lose in the midfield though for him?
Well, We don't, because Kamara's suspended, I think how we should line up, because I've had a few questions, so I might as well go into this now. I think it will be Moreno or Luka Dean in the left back. I think Moreno is first choice, but Luka Dean has done very well in this season. So, and he was, he, you know, so he's had an outstanding season. So it's nice to have the competition. So he could, it will split minutes between the pair, I expect. You've then got the, if Pau Torres is fit, it'll be Pau and Carlos playing centre backs. And then it will be right back will be Konsa. I think that is our best four. It also, the advantage of playing the three of them is it makes us better at set pieces and better at defending them as well. So I actually quite like that. And then I think you play Bailey. He likes to set up. So he's like one of the fullbacks, which is usually Luka Dean or Moreno attacking or giving the width from one side. And the other side's either Cash or Bailey. And Bailey is the better option. He's incredible. So therefore, then we'd have Bailey on the right. McGinn will play. I think it would be Tielemans and Douglas Luiz probably sitting in that centre. I think Tielemans can play further forward, but I think I'd rather have McGinn push further forward. The other option is Jacob Ramsey, of course. He could easily come in if Tielemans isn't fit. And then you've got Diaby and Watkins up front, or Zaniolo and Watkins if he wants to rest Diaby. So we've got a few options there, but Bailey has to start for me.
If he can start those two home games in the next three, think he'd be incredibly dangerous. Maybe, you know, I don't feel Mithy United win in between. Just maybe have a bench appearance, but yeah, superb.
Have you seen his record at home this season? I think it is absolutely brilliant. So I've got. Let me just see if I can quickly check this. But he's on in terms of actually returning. I'd heard this the other day that he's on a record of like returning so many games in a row. So let me break this down and see if I'm right. So he got an assist against Arsenal and he was only on the pitch for 45 minutes. He got a goal against Man City. He came on a sub against Fulham and got an assist. He came on a sub against Luton and got an assist. He came on for 14 minutes against West Ham and got a goal. He didn't come on against Brighton. He came on against Crystal Palace and got a goal, and he scored and assisted versus Everton. So he's actually returned in every single home game, and if you add up the minutes that he's been on the pitch, the only match he started was against Everton, played in Man City, but he played 62 minutes against Everton. He's not played a full match. He's returned off the bench against Crystal Palace, West Ham, Luton, Fulham, and then he only played half the match against Arsenal.
Okay,
so his minutes per goal and assist at home is ridiculous.
Who would you lose from the template midfield? You know, we've all got similar midfields: Gordon, Palmer, Saka, Son, Salah. Where's his spot coming from right now? That's what I'm struggling with. There's no opening for him.
Well, it's team dependent. So I think if you've got any of those players, if you pick up an injury this week to like a Gordon or a Bowen, etc., there's an opportunity there. But it's team dependent. This is what I think been the challenge this season is you have to sell a great player to bring in one. I wouldn't sell any of those, but there will be people out there that maybe have got a spot that, you know, maybe went differential or
you might have Huang or something like
exactly. I think if you've got a, you know, if you've got a spot and you're looking for a circa 5.5-6 million midfielder with Burnley and Sheffield United in the next three, he's worth a punt. And my point on the minutes is you don't need him to start. He will definitely come on in the games at Villa Park, and he's returning every single game this season.
Listen to this for a stat. This is our fantasyfootballhub.co.uk Opta stats tool. This season, all home games per 90 minutes, Leon Bailey is averaging 13.23 FPL points per 90 minutes at home this season. In second place is Richarlison, 9.86. Third, Jota, 9.47. And then Salah, he is streets ahead of everyone else. Per 90 minutes, obviously, it's worth saying.
That's the issue. He won't get 90 yeah. minutes in any match. Or he's very unlikely to.
But that is insane. He does struggle.
Oh, he's great. He's front. Yeah. He's absolutely great. He loves playing at home as well. So there's been a few comments, and actually, I think he'd only scored one away goal in the Premier League, which was this season. Mm. And almost all of his returns have come at home, and there's so many that come in front of the whole tent. He's one of those people that just loves the adulation of the fans. You can see he just likes playing. He feels comfortable playing at Villa Park. So, yeah, he's the best punt you've come up with this season, without question.
Very much, mate. Okay. Let's rattle through our teams, because I want to get through this quiz, if we can, to see who is the best Christmas football quizzer out of the Adam, quickly, what are your plans for your team this week now? Save us on the bit you said.
Well, yeah, I didn't come into it thinking that. But I think... I was looking at possibly Anderson to Power as my original decision, but I'd have to be convinced by his fitness. And I personally think a transfer saved this week, because there's not a huge difference in that move. I think as upside, I think a transfer saved could be huge. And like I said, I think the entrance, the two players are quite a lot. I like Solanke, but Nottingham Forest away, I don't think is easy. And, same for Trent. I think he's got a tough fixture. Then I'll worry about him being benched or having minutes rested. So, and actually, I don't need to make that transfer this week. So I think I'll take the information and the free transfer. Obviously, if I get a player injured, I might change my mind.
Okay. Your recommended transfer this week, Lascelles to Trent. What was your recommended transfer this week, Adam?
I'm not surprised by that.
And the works there. Rich, what are your plans this week?
I'm not in quite as good a position as Adam. I'm quite happy with the midfield, and I'll probably play all five of the midfielders. I need to get a keeper, I think. Playing Turner every week. He made a bit of a mess of the second goal, didn't he, for Tottenham? And whether or not he'll even start, I don't know. You know, maybe... Pliers' mate Shaka Demas might come back in for Forest.
One of the over 40s there.
That's right. So I think it could be time to go share to Porro and Sanchez to Dubravka, and just get it sorted for a -4, and free up a bit of cash. And do that, because I want Porro, and I'm at least two weeks behind everybody else in getting him. So I know that's what it feels like at the moment. I'm playing catch up FPL a little bit, but I could squeeze a side out and play, you know, the two Arsenal guys away at Liverpool. Don't have much of a bench. Isak would probably be on my bench because of his minutes risk, but equally Darwin could get a benching. It'd be interesting to see who plays for Liverpool in the League Cup this week. Maybe if Gakpo gets that one. Darwin's okay for Arsenal, but he doesn't look like he's going to score, does he, Darwin?
Does he
he's
just,
you know, he's all over the place, isn't he? So I really want to say, so that's why I think getting Haaland back so I can ditch Isak and Darwin in one go would be good. I thought about, should I get Solanke? Does he, you know, doing all right, isn't he? But it would only be for a short period, because then I wouldn't be able to afford to get Haaland back.
What about just looking at goalkeepers? I think Dubravka, you might have missed the boat, because by the time, there's a good chance they'll sign a goalkeeper in January. Mm. So really, you've got the Luton game, the Forest game. They then play Liverpool, Man City and Villa before they play Luton in 23, by which chance the transfer window's open. So you've got three fixtures he's likely to concede. And there's no guarantees he keeps a clean sheet against Luton. I think they will against Forest, but I'm just looking at goalkeepers now as alternatives. I mean, if you spend a little bit more money, I think Martinez is an option. I think we play Sheffield United twice, Burnley, Fulham away, Everton in the next few game weeks. But the other one, what about Bernd Leno? So Leno, nobody ever goes for him.
No.
He always seems to be right up there as the top scoring goalkeeper. But just looking at his fixtures, so looking at the next eight, he plays 1, 2, 3. So he's got 5 home games in the next eight. So he plays Burnley. He's got Burnley, Bournemouth, Arsenal, Chelsea, Everton, Burnley, Bournemouth and Villa. So he plays Burnley and Bournemouth twice.
Right.
He's got a good... It's only really the Arsenal game, and that's perfect for saves. He tends to do well in those sorts of matches. So maybe looking at something a little bit different, because I think you're more likely to gain an edge. I think the Dubravka ship sailed. It was similar to when I was going to go for Tsimikas a few weeks ago. I think you've got to... I'm not saying he is the answer, but maybe looking a little
bit... No, you are right. You are right. I mean, you could even just get Ederson in, you know, or Alisson or something like that.
Alisson, I think, is a good option,
You could do something that, you know, just go for the premium key because no one else owns them. And if one of these teams does go on a run, then great. It's just, you know, the money side of it. I'll have to work through the numbers. Certainly, I could afford Leno. It's only a small increase on Sanchez. So that's...
Well, if you didn't fancy him, Anana possibly would be an option.
He'd be going to AFCON, he's been there, buddy. I think.
Oh, of course he will. Of course he will. Yeah. Ignore me on that. Ignore me on that.
Fulham are top of the ticker for the next 8 game weeks. Fulham are top. Spurs are second. Villa are third. Newcastle are fourth, but you're right, Adam. They've got those 3 horror fixtures in the middle. But Fulham's fixtures, as you say, are absolutely superb for the, you know, long term. They're really, really good. So
it's great on bonuses. I think Leno is for the last 2 seasons at Fulham, he's right up
I think he went up in price last night. I think he might be up to like 4.8 now. Say like no one's got him, but the casuals are getting him because he's gone up in price again.
I'm not saying no one's getting him, but it doesn't seem like he's... This, I think a lot of people are put off by the Fulham defence, and I think Fulham are getting better. I'd probably go that way. The good thing about it as well is that there's a lot of uncertainty with Areola, Dubravka, etc. Whereas if you get Leno in, you get rid of the uncertainty. Mm. So or Martinez or whoever you decide to come. I think I would probably go that way and just think, do you know what? Dubravka's the ship sailed there. And, you know, I think owners will be quite lucky, me included, if Newcastle don't go in for another goalkeeper.
Just to give them some cover, yeah. No, good advice, mate. Thank you. I'll certainly think about it.
Your recommended option, Rich, was to save this week. It does say Sanchez for Areola, but that's because we've still got Areola as West Ham's preferred keeper at the moment. We don't really know. Right. We're going to wait until next weekend, because obviously Fabianski played this week. It could be that he's lost his place, or it could be that, you know, Areola just wasn't ready still.
Bit of a strange one.
I think for me, mine's fairly straightforward. I'll be doing Darwin to Watkins. So I will have Dubravka, Porro, Tsimikas, Gabriel. I think I'll play those. Palmer, Saka, Gordon, Salah, Solanke, and Watkins. I'm not sure yet.
You sure I'm making that move? Darwin to Watkins. You sure on it?
I'm pretty sure. I think. Or maybe. Yeah. No. I think I am. I was contemplating Archer to Watkins, but I don't really want Darwin. After watching him yesterday, he was bloody awful. So I don't really want him. So I think what I want to do is spend my cash. Because I don't think I'm going to get Haaland back in 19. And I think I'm going to... I don't see the point in getting Haaland in, having this massive, fully stacked team just to get Salah out a week later, just to have to spend the next few weeks basically plotting in transfers, spending all this cash when I can just almost do it in one hit. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm not sure whether to take a hit or not to go for... if I was to take a hit this week, I might do it for Trippier. I'm not sure. But it would have to be Lascelles to Trippier because I've got 3 Newcastle. And we're not sure. So at the moment, Lascelles' expected minutes are really low because their back 4 are back, right? Potentially apart from Shah, which we're going to learn a bit more about midweek. He may be injured, he may not. Apparently, it's not his hamstring was what I heard this afternoon. Glute. So he might be all right. So I think Lascelles is.
It's also possible they played Dan Burn at centre back as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
so there's a few options.
And Livramento at either back. Because at the moment, yeah. Livramento is not going to be starting either, is he? So it's interesting if they play their first choice back four. Mm. So I'm definitely doing Darwin to Watkins, and then I've got to make a decision. I'll probably wait till all the midweek games are all done. But you know, if Trippier is fit, I'd be tempted.
This is not a week for early transfers.
No. If Trippier is fit, I'm going to be tempted for the next two.
And are you captaining Watkins as well?
Yes, I'll be captaining Watkins.
Yeah.
This cool. week. My recommended transfer was to save again this week, with the alternative being Tsimikas to Trent, and it's because Tsimikas Robertson is due back apparently roughly around game week 21 or 22, so just to bear that in mind, that's what it says on the FPL site in terms of his flag and stuff. Just a reminder, just before we're going to start our Christmas quiz any minute, but we do have a Christmas offer at present. If you want to use the full power of Fantasy Football Hub, you can do so now for a full 30 days free. This includes my team features, Optostats, recommended transfers, predicted points, everything you can possibly want to do well at FPL. Absolute no-brainer. If you want to do it, it's also on the app as well. Every game you can go in and it will give you your most optimal transfer. Give it a try. You won't be disappointed. Right, we've got a short quiz to finish off Christmas special. I haven't been able to show off my Christmas jumper. I'm going to do it for those who are still here. Look at this. Look at this, everyone. I haven't been able to show it to anyone yet. He is there. That's my Christmas jumper. Bit of a festive spirit to finish off before we do. Before we break up for Christmas. 10 questions, gents. Question one, the Christmas truce, which is thought to include a football match between British and German forces in no man's land on Christmas Day, took place during which year of the First World War? 1914, 1915, 1916, or 1917? Either you want to go first.
1917.
Rich?
I think it was 1917 as well.
The correct answer is 1914. So both of you had that one wrong. Second one. Where is the 4-3-2-1 Christmas tree formation believed to have originated from? Spain, Turkey, Brazil, or Holland? Rich, come to you first on this one. The 4-3-2-1 Christmas tree formation. Spain, Holland. Turkey, Brazil, or Holland? Holland. Adam, what do you think?
I think Spain.
It was Holland. So, Rich, 1 point for you. On to question three. When was top flight football last played on Christmas Day in England? 1948, 1959, 1967, or 1974? When was top flight football last played on Christmas Day in England?
Me? You want me to ask?
Yes, you're first this time. No, sorry, Adam first this time. Adam first this time.
1959.
Okay, what do you think, Rich?
I'll go for the one in the 1970s, 1974.
Correct answer, 1959. One all. One all after three questions. Question four, on Boxing Day...
Just potluck this,
on Boxing Day 1963, how many goals were scored in the 10 first division fixtures? 5, 10, 33 or 66?
What a joker. What was it? 5, 10?
33 or 66. Rich, do you want to go first?
I'll go for 33.
Adam?
Yeah, it's got to be 33. I don't see any of the other numbers working.
I think it's the 66. I think this is the one where there was like ridiculous score. It was like 10-1 or whatever. Let's have a look.
Yeah, but you've got the answer.
No, I haven't. Yeah. I've got to reveal the answer. It was 66. 66 goals in 10 games.
Oh, my God. I know. Imagine if we have 66 goals. That would be an incredible game week. There was 66 goals.
The score lines, we'll have to bring it up. They sort of pop up in the next week. And there was like 5-4s and I think there was like a 9-1 or something. Absolutely crazy games.
Oh, my word. 66 goals.
Question five. Whose festivities in the early 1970s were ruined by the sacking of his father as a manager during the family's Christmas Day lunch? Arsene Wenger, Roberto Mancini, Jose Mourinho, or Gianfranco Zola? the father got sacked during the family's Christmas Day lunch. That is harsh. Wenger, Mancini.
Read them out again.
Wenger, Mancini, Mourinho, or Zola. Unbelievable.
I think it's Mancini.
Rich, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd go Mancini. Just he's the sort of person that would, whose dad would have been a manager.
Jose Mourinho. His father was sacked Christmas Day lunch. Unbelievable.
Oh, dear.
Halfway through and it's 1-1, guys. Question six.
Not a high-scoring
game.
Not a high-scoring game.
This one's more our era. The Middlesbrough squad pulled a Christmas sickie by failing to appear for a game against Blackburn in 1996. What reason did the manager, Brian Robson, give? Flu bug, Christmas party hangover, food poisoning due to a dodgy turkey, or their winless league run?
It's not going to be the winless league run, and it's not going to be a Christmas hangover. So I think it's the flu bug.
Rich, what do you think?
Oh, I'll go for the turkey, just to be...
Yeah, it was 50-50, I think, on those. So.
It was, sadly, it was the flu bug. It would have been brilliant, wouldn't it, if it was a dodgy turkey, but yeah. Question seven. What was Robbie Fowler dressed as when he was arrested after Leeds' Christmas party in 2001 following an alleged scuffle with a photographer? Was he dressed as a soldier, a sailor, a shepherd, or a snowman? Or a snowman.
A snowman, did you say? Yeah. It can't be a snowman. That'd be too funny.
Soldier, sailor, shepherd, or snowman?
I think sailor.
Rich?
Yeah, I'm gonna go sailor.
It was a soldier. He was dressed as a soldier. Just three questions left. Adam is currently 2-1 up. 2-1 at the moment.
Oh, it's pretty hard quiz, this is, isn't it?
Very hard.
Which of the following players, past and present, were not born on Christmas Day? Another guess, I think, gents.
They're all guesses.
Chris Kamara, Gary McAllister, Robbie Elliott, or Rocky Santa Cruz. Chris Kamara.
Only one of them was not born on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go for Cammy, because I liked him.
No, I remember somebody saying his first name was Christmas. Because he was born on Christmas Day, so random. He's not, but there was a. I saw that, so I don't think it's Cammy. I don't think it's Santa Cruz. There could be something in the Santa there. So who are the other two?
McAllister and Robbie Elliott.
Who would you have thrown? I'll go for Gary McAllister.
The curveball was thrown in there. Rocky Santa Cruz was the player not born on Christmas Day. They chucked you in a curveball.
That was obvious.
Question nine. Since the start of the Premier League, which is the only club to have avoided relegation after being bottom at Christmas? Okay. I think this is fairly recent. I think this is fairly recent. Sunderland, West Brom, West Ham, or Wolves? I think I know this. Oh, I'm wrong. After all that.
Say the four again.
Since the start of the Premier League, which is the only club to avoid a relegation after being bottom at Christmas. I think it is fairly recent, though. Sunderland, West Brom, West Ham, or Wolves?
I think it's West Brom.
I'll go West Ham.
I thought it was West Ham, Rich, but it is West Brom. It is West Brom. No. If you remember, they had a miracle escape a few years ago, didn't they? They suddenly
I thought it was going to be Leicester, but that didn't come up. So
3-1 to Adam. Richard playing for pride. And finally,
going the same way as my season.
Oh, another! I think this one might be another guess.
Oh, get the violins back out.
In 112 years of the Football League, how many teams who have led the top flight of? How many teams who have led the top flight at Christmas have gone on to win the title? 38, 50, 64, or 79?
How much? So that's in about... I'll say 54.
I'll go 69.
Neither of those were answers, but it's close enough. 50. I'll give you that one, Rich. You were the closest. Right. So Adam wins.
We didn't even get the wrong. We didn't even get to say a multiple choice option.
Well done, Adam.
Well done. Well done. Well done. 3-2. Rich, the second half of the season is going to be yours in everything. We'll do it at the end of the season as well. But hope you enjoyed that. We had loads of interaction then in the chat. Thank you so much, everyone. Who joined in there. Hopefully you enjoyed that. As everyone knows who follows us, Rich and I do enjoy a good quiz. Or I enjoy asking the questions and then watching Rich squirm. That's what I enjoy. We've done it a few times, haven't we, Rich? So,
that was probably definitely the hardest one you've ever given.
That was tough. I'll try and find an easy one next time. Anyway, that is it from us for this week. Thank you so much to everyone who joined in the chat. Those who could watch it back and those listening on the podcast for your support, as usual, it's very, very, very much appreciated. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people get hold of you?
On X at Hoptostats.
Love your stuff. And Rich, thank you so much as usual. Where can people get hold of you?
At Rich Clark FPL on Twitter.
Lovely stuff. My Twitter handle is at @FH_Fergie. This podcast video will be on the Fantasy Football Hub YouTube channel with the podcast versions available on all major podcast platforms. If you like what you watched, please press the like button. Remember to subscribe to the channel in the bottom right hand corner of the screen. If you enjoyed your listen, please rate the podcast and leave a comment. We'll be back sometime next week after Christmas and in between New Year, previewing game week 20. In the meantime, we hope you have a great game week 18 and 19. Have a fantastic and peaceful Christmas, and may all your arrows be green. Good night, all.